That's a really good answer, Jean. Very intelligent answer. Yes, yeah, this isn't really a butter knife, but it's bigger. Is this a palette knife?
Yes.
I don't know such things, but yeah, yeah. Anyway, it's big enough to for you to think of it as a butter knife. So yes, you do. You use it to... Have you got two? Oh, right. You like butter then?
I do.
Good, good. So do I. Yes, yes. Very good for you. Yep. So what's our purpose? What is our purpose in life? Why are we here? I get asked this quite a lot. And what's our purpose? Why are we born? Why do we exist? What's it all about? People say to me as I'm wandering around wherever it is. Any ideas? What's our purpose? What's your purpose, Paul? Why are you here?
To glorify God.
To glorify God is the right answer. Yes, to glorify God. That is our sole purpose for existing. And if you think about that, it puts everything else in perspective. That is our sole purpose, to glorify God. And if you match that up against the life that you're living, whoever you are, wherever you're from, whatever you do, it probably doesn't match perfectly. Because I'm sure, just like me, you can think about the last week and you can think about things you've said, things you've thought, things you've watched or listened to that haven't really glorified God. It was something that you really shouldn't have said or done, and it hasn't brought glory to God. So there's a difference between what we should be doing and what we are doing. Does that purpose of your life bring joy and fulfillment?
No.
Do you feel joyful and fulfilled today? Jean does, because she's nodding on the front row. But yeah, do you feel joy and fulfillment? In the passage that we read, Jesus had finished it with a conversation with his disciples and closed it with a prayer. And Jesus was always praying. Have you noticed that? Always. His whole life was bathed in prayer. He'd go off to pray, he'd spend time alone with God. It was very, very important to him. And I do wonder whether the chapter that we've read should be called the Lord's Prayer, because it's the prayer that Jesus prayed, and the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples that we prayed earlier on and called the Lord's Prayer should almost be called the Model Prayer. But we won't argue about this, but I just wonder whether one should be the Lord's Prayer and one should be the Model Prayer. And Jesus puts in the word, all the way through it, the word glory. The word glory was mentioned, as Jen said, 5 times in the reading. Jesus lived for one purpose, and then this was it. In verse 1, he said, "Father, the hour has come. The hour has come for everything to be fulfilled." All the Old Testament, everything leading up through the Old Testament, everything in those silent 400 years, it was all leading up to this moment. The time has come. And his disciples really didn't know what he was talking about at that point. They really didn't know what he was talking about. But Jesus did. His sole purpose every day was to give the Father glory by doing his will. Even as a young child, Jesus told his mum and dad, and he said to them, "How is it that you weren't looking for me? Were you not aware that I must be about my Father's business?" As a young boy, he knew that his job was to give glory to God. And that's what he was doing in the temple when he was talking to people, wiser, older people, but he was telling them about God and what God meant to him. Before Jesus went to the cross, he prayed to the Father and said, he went away again the second time and prayed, "Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done." Whatever I need to do in order to glorify God, so be it. which is what amen means, isn't it? So be it. And Jesus was saying to God, I don't want to do this, but if it's going to glorify you, I will do it. Do our lives mirror that? Do our lives mirror that level of commitment where we say to God, I don't want to do that. What I'd rather do is this, 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 and this. But if it's your will, that's what I'll do. Are we so close to God that we can do that? Even in what we talk about as the Lord's Prayer, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Even there, even in that model prayer, the Lord's Prayer, that Jesus is teaching to his disciples, he's telling them, give the glory to God in everything that you do. The word glory means to magnify, give the highest praise, worship, put the spotlight on. I've never quite heard it as put the spotlight on, but it makes sense. So I know we've got an actor amongst us over here, so I won't embarrass you, but have you had the spotlight on you yet? Yeah, yeah. How does it feel? Yes, absolutely. Yeah, that moment when that light is just on you, you know that everybody is looking at you. And whatever you do, whatever you say, if you get your lines wrong, if you make a movement wrong, if you do, they're going to see it. So that spotlight, and that's what the word glory means, to have that spotlight on God, to move it from us across to God. And that's another mistake that we make. We like having the spotlight on us. We like being the person that everyone goes, oh, isn't such a person good? We enjoy that. But sometimes we get drawn into that and we don't say, it's not me, it's God. And we don't actually live as though it's God. Jesus was always putting the spotlight on his Father by doing God's will and showing what God was really like. It's sort of like if you're walking by the beach and the ocean and you say, stop and look at me, see my greatness and my waves, look at the dolphin, look at the sunset. If you stop and look at the ocean, you get joy from doing it. Anyone enjoy looking at the ocean?
Yes.
Yeah, a lot of people do. I know my mum did. My mum was a great one for just going to the seaside just to look at the sea. She'd sit there for an hour and just look at the sea and enjoy the vastness and the greatness of it. Do we do that with God? Do we spend time in the presence of God just enjoying his vastness and his greatness? When we see God's glory, we can find joy and fulfillment in our lives, and we can have a reason for our existence. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13, right at the end of Ecclesiastes, after he talked about all these other things that might bring him joy, that might bring him pleasure, and he tried all sorts of things. He was a very wealthy man. He got lots of money, lots of everything, and yet he wasn't content. And at the end, he says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And what he was saying is glorify God. The reason, the way to get joy and fulfillment in your life is to make your life a glorification of God. Have a drink now. But we're there. We've arrived. We've arrived at the butter knife. Do you know I've got a brother? Don't know if you might not know. People who don't know me won't know I've got a brother. Do you know what my brother's called? David. Yeah. David lives a very solitary existence. He lives in a place called Balmeedy, which is just further up the coast from Scotland, in a little wooden cottage that sort of should have been condemned about 100 years ago, but isn't. When it's the summer, it gets incredibly hot. When it's the winter, The wind doesn't blow over it, it blows right through it. And the rain and the snow and everything just leak in the sides. But he's very happy there, very happy indeed. And I went to see him one day, and this was many years ago. It might have even been before we were married, so that's a long, long time ago. And I went to see him, and he said, "I don't know if you can help me, but one of my doors is not closing properly." So I had a look at it, and I said, "Yeah, I think all it is it just needs tightening. The hinges aren't quite right, so we need to tighten the hinges. Just get me your screwdriver and I'll sort it out for you." And he said, what do you think he said? He said, "Yeah, screwdriver? No, I've never needed one of them. I don't have a screwdriver." And I went, "But everyone's got a screwdriver. Surely everyone." And he went, "No, I use..." Yeah. I remember telling James, my son, this story, and he was like, "Oh, no, I can't believe it." But what's my point? What's the point of telling you this story? The butter knife was never invented to tighten screws, ever. It's not meant to do it. It's not a job it was there for. You shouldn't be using a butter knife to tighten a screw. And when I looked at his butter knife, what did it look like? Did it look like this one?
Yeah.
What did it look like? Yeah, I won't do it to this one or else I'll get in trouble. But all the top was twisted out of shape. And it was bent, and you couldn't use it as a butter knife anymore because it had been used for the wrong purpose. And sometimes that's what we can be like. We can be like the butter knife that's used for the wrong purpose. Because we're not glorifying God, our lives get bent and misshapen, and they become something that God never intended them to be. In the book of Revelation, Paul says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honour and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." God created us for a reason. Each one of us sat here, and each one of us sat here is created for different reasons, to do different things, but with one purpose. And the one purpose is to bring glory to God. Does it matter whether you look after people's eyes and feet? Does it matter whether you're an actor? I picked on you twice now, haven't I? Sorry about that. Does it matter whether you're, I don't know, a minister? Does it matter whether you're working with children and in Oldham? It doesn't matter what you are, what you do. Your purpose is to glorify God. So why do we try and find significance elsewhere? Why do we try and look in other places to find a purpose for our lives? Why do we try and get the praise of other men and women day by day? Why is that so important to us that we look to other people and think, well, John has got to, I don't know if there is a John with us today, but John has got to think I'm good, so I've got to do things that make me look good in front of John. Or Bertha, or whoever it is. Why do we do that? Why do we try and please people instead of pleasing God? Why do we try and increase the money that we've got? Why do we try and not accept what God has given us and use that to his glory? And instead, we try and seek more and more and more and try and build up wealth and goods and all sorts of things to make us feel better. Why do we do that? Why do we try and get that new job that's going to take all our time up? It's going to give us more money and more things, but it's going to take all our time up. And we know it'll give us less time for the things that God wants us to do, but we're still chasing it. We're still chasing that dream, that thing that is going to make us happy, that thing that's going to make us content. Why do we want that new car, that bigger car, that Lexus, that hybrid, that electric car? It's going to change our lives. And once we get that, it'll be absolutely wonderful. I was talking to one of my friends and he said that His wife always uses the phrase, my dream house. Always, all her life she's used it. And they've moved about 6 or 7 times so far. And every time they move, she goes, this is it, I found my dream house. And then a year later, what happens? Yeah, she spots another one that's more like a dream house than the one before. And, oh, that's it. I'll be happy there for the rest of my life. I'm going to move there. That'll be my dream house. And then a year later, the same happens again and again and again. Do we do that with our lives? Do we chase that dream that we think is going to make us happy, when all the time, it's already there. It's already there in glorifying God, in our lives becoming in line with God, what God wants us to do. God has given us one dream to bring glory to him. Jesus said in verse 4, I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you have given me to do. What is our calling? What is our purpose in life? If we're honest, and you can be honest in a church, be honest with yourself, you don't have to shout it out. What is your calling? What is the thing that you're chasing every day? Is it to glorify God? And how can we do that? How can we actually glorify God in our lives? In Galatians 2 verse 20 we read, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. For the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. They're the words of Paul when he wrote to the church at Galatia. And he was saying that everything he did was to give glory to God. His whole life, everything. Everything he said, all his money, all his possessions, everywhere he went, everyone he spoke to, his aim was to glorify God. At the end of his life, he said these words. He said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. If this was your last day on earth, and none of us know when that's going to be, would you be able to say that? Would you be able to say, I have fought the fight. I have kept the faith. I've run that race right to the finishing line for God. Romans 14 verse 8, for whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. And one of the most famous things that he wrote was, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I'm going to live, I'm going to live for God. Those conversations that I have in Tesco, they're going to be for God. That chat that I have with somebody over the phone when they ring to see how I'm doing, I'm going to give the glory to God. Everything was about giving glory to God. Is it in our lives? When we live for ourselves, we're wasting the life that God has given us. When we live for self-gratification, when we live to keep ourselves happy, or to keep other people happy, we're not doing what God wants us to do, because we're told to give the glory to God. In the book of Revelation, John bowed down to the angel that was giving him the vision, and the angel redirected John. Revelations 22 verse 8, I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things, and when I heard and saw them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed them to me. But he said to me, you must not do that. I am a fellow servant with you and your brothers, the prophets, and with those who keep the word of this book. Worship God. Even the angels redirected him to God. Said, don't worship us. We're only angels. We're nothing. We don't count. worship God. And that's the message for this morning. In everything, in all parts of your life, worship God. Glorify God in everything that you do this week. Amen.
Amen.